Hello, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio and to The Sum of Us. My name is Alisa.
My name is Liz. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going pretty well. I've not been able to go to sleep right away. Like, I've just been awake. Not even that I've gone to bed. I've just not even wanted to go to bed. I've been awake. So, yeah, I think I went to bed around 2.
Ooh.
Or so, yeah.
Yeah. That's so interesting because on, was it Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was. On Tuesday, I actually went to get an acupuncture treatment for the first time since before COVID. And, you know, we forget, like, what when we used to have, like, a routine and used to do certain things, and then we're just, like, coming out of the fog. It's been just a year that we're sort of out of it. But, you know, that's with allegedly out of it.
Right.
And I had to remember, because I am not initially one to opt into Western medicine. I'm not against Western medicine, but that's going to kind of be my last way, my last approach to maintaining my health outside of seeing a GYN for like the occasional, you know, test or an exam. That's always something that's important, but, you know, reproductive health. But other than that, I'm not going to no doctor, but I used to go get acupuncture.
Right.
And then my girlfriend, Teresa, who is a master acupuncturist, but she's in New Mexico, she used to do these remote sessions that were really quite profound and very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't had a session with her in, I would say, at least 6 months. Because she's had some vision problems and she's getting much, much better. And I just didn't want to, you know, I would pay her. I just didn't want to add to her load. So I wasn't even getting that as maintenance, the remote sessions. But the reason why I was motivated to go back to acupuncture, because I felt like I really wanted to sort of get some sort of treatment, and I was noticing off and on, but more on than not, just in my right leg, and sometimes it would affect the way that I like to ambulate and walk around, and I'm like, no, we are not messing with this. And years ago, I used to go to the acupuncture clinic for advanced students about to graduate. So they have since relocated. I'm so happy I went back on like 95% already better after just one treatment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel any pain in my leg. If anything, it's more working through the mental perception or misperception of trying to sort of protect that leg because I'm anticipating the sharp pain, but the pain's not there. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go back, you know, whatever protocol they give me. So right now they want me back weekly, and because it's affordable, I'm going to do that. But I say all of that because when you have your first intake session, where you have to, you know, give all your medical history and all of that, we talked about sleep. And lately I've had no problem falling asleep because I do all these things to support that. But my body automatically after 6 hours, even if I'm tired, wants to wake up. And it's not enough.
Okay.
And it's not enough. So I say this to my practitioner, who was amazing. I said, girl, you're about to graduate because you already rented the office because she's that good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I will probably get her for 2 more sessions and then she's going to probably open up her own practice. Like she's that ready to go. So it really is as good as seeing somebody with their own practice for like practically half the price. It's such a great thing for the community. I love it. So I tell her about the sleep issue, and she's like, I talked to my supervisor, because they have to go to the supervisor, and then the supervisor gives the treatment plan. So she consulted with her supervisor about what I said about sleep. And the supervisor said, this is going to be hard at first, but what she needs to do is she needs to go to bed between a half hour and then work up to an hour earlier than she normally does. And I said to my practitioner that sometimes I would be so tired and wanting to go to bed earlier, but because I don't want to go to bed earlier and then wake up at 2-3 in the morning after the 6 hours, I purposely make myself go to bed a little bit later, because I can deal with getting up anytime from 5 o'clock on. Before 5, it's not cute. It's frustrating. But from 5, I can sort of, you know, deal with that. And she said, go to bed between a half hour and then work your way up to an hour earlier than normal. It's really going to help. And what she said, and I never heard this before, but I believe it because it came from her supervisor, who's a master, you know, in Eastern medicine. And they said what happens is after 11 o'clock, the body starts producing adrenaline. And if you're tired and you're making yourself stay up, it contradicts that. I don't even remember what the explanation was. It just sounded like it made sense to me at the time.
That's like your second wind then.
She goes, yes, people think it's the second wind, but it's really
right.
Not. Oh, thank you for saying that, because she used that language. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. But it's not. We think it is, but it's not. So I didn't know that. So, Tuesday night, I reluctantly, but I followed the direction. And, of course, she says also, when you find yourself waking up, whatever time it is, you know, it's dark outside, whatever. She's like, whatever you do, and I'm glad she said this, whatever you do, don't look at your phone. Because that's what we're going to do.
Right.
Whatever you do. And that's what we do. And I was really glad that she said that. Don't look at your phone. A couple things happen. You look at your phone, you see it's 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whatever. Then you're automatically disappointed or frustrated or whatever, however you're going to respond to that. And then, two, you know, you're getting that the blue light, which keeps you awake and limits production of melatonin. She's like, don't look at the phone. And it's not like get up and do stuff. Just relax in bed. So, of course, Tuesday night, I go to bed about a half hour earlier than normal. It felt weird, but I did it. I managed. It took a long time to fall asleep, but I fell asleep. And then, of course, 6 hours later or less, because I don't know, I wake up. Of course, it's pitch black, and I remember, don't look at the phone. I'm like, don't look at the phone. I wanted to, but I did it. And I allowed myself to stay in the bed. Then I went into that deep, deep sleep like I did last week, and then I turned off the alarm, and I showed up a half hour late for the show, so I made sure not to touch my alarm. I went into a deep, deep, deep sleep. So then when the alarm went off for me to get up to go to work yesterday, I was exhausted. Mm-hmm. But thanks to the Magic Mind productivity shots that Anna sent me, they are a lifesaver when you have when you're exhausted and you have to get your shit together. I always have one in my work bag, thank God. So I knew, this is a Magic Mind day. I knew it, and I was able to get through the day without any problem. I had no pain in my leg, although there's still a part of me that's trying to compensate for that. So it's like that mental conditioning of trying to protect the leg, but I was good. But I have to say, I went to bed a little bit earlier than usual. It's hard when my sons, you know, are asking me for stuff or they need stuff or whatever, but still earlier than usual. But I actually slept more than the 6 hours, 15 minutes before the alarm, and I actually felt rested. And it probably was because I was exhausted or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there was such an improvement from one day to the next. So I'm going to follow this guidance or have the intention to not purposely keep myself up to avoid waking up in the middle of the night. And if I wake up in the middle of the night, to stay in the bed and then look at the phone. She said it's going to be challenging at first, but it will make a huge difference. She's like, my supervisor was emphatic about this. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. So that's really funny because you and I are always in tandem with stuff. Alisa, it never ceases to amaze me. I don't know why it always surprises me, but it always does. So I had to jump in with that.
I love it.
So So why were you up till second wind, aka adrenaline, or what?
No, I simply was not sleepy.
There you go.
I was not sleepy, and then when it got to, you know, being like after midnight, when I started, I found myself, now I'm dozing off. I'm like, okay. But then I'm like, oh, but I need to, you know, clean up my mess here. I had laundry that, you know, was in the, so I did all that stuff before I went to bed, you know, washed my dishes, put stuff away.
Oh, well, that's good.
Because I'm like, you know, that's not cool to be like, you know.
You will be considerate of your household.
I tidied up and then did my, folded up my laundry, put that away, and then, you know, did my routine to go to bed. So it was after 2 when I, you know, finally settled into bed. So what I'm thinking is the other day, I think, like, Anna had driven down to Florida to see her kids. And
yes, Jaden's birthday.
Jaden's birthday was Tuesday. She came back early Monday. And so she was dragging, you know, she was really tired, but she had to work, you know, she was still doing her thing.
She didn't take the magic mind. She needs the magic mind.
You know, you said that and I'm like, I don't think we have any I didn't see another, you know, shipment come
in.
So
I've taken a few.
When she got the sample, I was about to leave to go on my trip. So
right.
I think she had some when I was back, but then I wasn't feeling good. And so I limited, you know, I didn't want to be like, woohoo. And I'm like, I'm just dragging. I'm really tired. I feel like all I need to do is rest, not get a boost to feel like I still need to rest. So I don't think she has gotten another one in. I'm not sure what's going on. But anyway, she was just really sleepy. So I think, you know, you gave me that decaf coffee, which is so good.
I'm so happy because you were like, I didn't drink coffee. I'm like, I got you gluten-free bagels. You're like, yeah, okay.
No, and I love the bagels. But
I'm kidding.
I have been drinking the decaf coffee. Now, I realize
that
that's not going to help her. Made you some
coffee.
But she did have some, I think she had some hazelnut coffee, like regular coffee.
Okay.
And I think, because Amy has her coffee, but she makes it really, really strong. So, and it's like, yeah.
She does. I love how Amy makes coffee. She makes it like she's Puerto Rican. Her coffee is so good.
So she didn't, I think she already had a cup of that, but she's like, it's too bitter. Okay, well, I'll make some hazelnut coffee. Or just, you know, I'm like, all right, I'll make it. But the hazelnut coffee, as much as I love hazelnut coffee, I just, for whatever reason, I drank some of it. because I made a pot of coffee. And I just had that one cup. I'm like, but that's kind of thrown me off too, because I had caffeine in it, right? It was a regular
thing. Lot of caffeine, yeah.
So I think that's thrown me off the last couple of days.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And even now, like, I'm drinking my, I'll make the decaf, because it really is, it really is smooth. I really like it. I'm like, I might need to get some more, or maybe I don't need to get some more, but I do like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know, because now I know what to bring you when I come. Okay.
Happily, I won't give you a hard time. Like, I don't know, because you know now I do drink coffee, decaf.
I'm so glad. It makes me so happy that you had it and you like it, because it comes from a really good place. So that makes me very, very happy.
Yeah, I was looking it up online. I'm like, I might need to order another bag, but we'll see. We'll see. I still have like a little less than half a bag left.
That makes you so happy. Yay.
Thank you. And it's not like I've been, you know, crazy busy. It's been mostly I've been busy talking to my Aunt Thelma, because every day it feels like this week I've had to go over there. She's done some bathroom renovations, remodeling.
Yes.
That thankfully I was not in charge of, because I told her.
Yeah,
Anna
was talking
about
it. Yeah,
Anna
was
the one
filling in for you.
That one. And because I told her I can't. I just don't have the bandwidth for it. Because I know what it's like. I've done the whole house for her.
Oh, you've done
house.
So much. No. Good for you. Good for you.
So I said, I'll ask around. Yeah. I didn't even ask around. Someone in the family had either used him or, he did like some handyman stuff. And so then he ended up in the interim, because I think he gave us a quote and Anna was still finding the other quotes in the interim, because it's our family. Someone else had said, oh, you have someone, you know, quoting you. Let me ask him about my bathroom. So it was another aunt on another side of town. And, you know, I guess he did a good job. I'm not sure if Anna is sold on him. I think Anna was tired of he's not very organized, but
yeah,
my aunt seems to like him all right. And I do like his energy. I think, you know, he's from Colombia. You'll like that. He's from Colombia.
he might be wonderful with the twist of shade, because, you know, there's always something going on. We're proud of that.
But yeah, I mean, there's still some things that he's been good to his, you know, to follow up and like, you know, you tell her if there's anything wrong with like the shower.
And they do good work, just as a generalization. Yeah.
Let me know. And he's come over and he's, you know, he's like, well, you know, let's let things settle and see how things work. And if, you know, again, just call, because, you know, my other cousins are, who live with her, are also wanting to get a quote on some other work to be done.
Good.
So it's good. I mean,
that's nice.
But, you know, so she has had her bathroom, the main bathroom, renovated. That meant she has not been sleeping in her room, because everything's kind of, you know,
right.
So now it's, yeah. So she's been, you know, she's now has to go through. We rearranged her room, because she asked him to mount the TV on the wall, and it's on a different wall. It's not where her bed is. It's not across from where her bed is. Like, okay.
Oh, she's got to move everything now.
So I remember coming over on Sunday, because she's like, yeah, I want to get it done. And I come over and she's watching her soap operas, her Filipino soap operas. So we didn't really do anything. She says she was doing stuff earlier. I'm just tired. I'm taking a break. And then we ended up going out to eat. And I said, okay, well, I'll come over tomorrow.
Well, she misses you.
Well,
and she wants to stretch it out.
Which is fine.
And also, too, her perception of time and space is going to be a little bit than yours, because she's
a
different.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not saying anything you don't know.
And I wanted to let her know that I have things I have to do, too. So
of course.
I came over on Monday, and it looked like she was like kind of in that sluggish mood again. But I said, look, I have things to do this week. So let's move some things. I said, you'll be here for the next month piddling around. So if you want to sleep on the sofa for a few more weeks, you know, that's fine. I said, but I'm here now. I said, okay. So we moved things around and she was much happier. She has a ton of clothes that, you know, again, logically, you don't have to be, you know, a mathematician to figure out that all this stuff is not going to fit in that,
right.
In that now her, she gave up half of her closet to expand her bathroom. There's a bathroom and a closet right next to each other, but they were both, you know, well, the bathroom was really tiny. So she wanted to bust down that wall and expand it. And so we, you know, he came up with a plan and it's got everything in there, but admittedly a much smaller closet space. So I'm like, you're going to have to figure out what you're going to do. These are the hanging area is really for the clothes you're going to be wearing and not just storing.
Right.
You don't have nearly as much storage space as you did before. But I said, it'll be good because this is what you want. You don't want to.
She's so lucky
tidy.
She has you.
Yeah.
She's so lucky. So many people don't have like what she has. She's so lucky.
So we'll see what she does. She did. I think she said, so we moved everything around. She was very grateful. And then she said, we'll come over. So I came over, you know, Tuesday as well. And we ended up just going out to eat. But she had spent that into all of Monday night after I left. She got everything, almost everything cleared off her bed. But she didn't sleep on her bed.
You motivated her. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Look what you did.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm like, okay, this is good. And we still have to go through, like, all your – she has a lot of storage space. Like, she has a lot of, furniture, bedroom furniture. It's really big. She likes the big, heavy furniture. So she has a few, an armoire. She has a chest of drawers. She's got, two chests of drawers or a dresser and a chest of drawers. So there's just a lot she has. And she, even her bed has has under the bed storage drawers. So I have a feeling they're not all full, but she has that space that she, the thing is, she doesn't like to bend over because it's hard for her, but that's where her bed, that's where a lot of her storage space is. So I, you know, I'm just looking at her like, okay, but you know, let's go through your stuff because some of this, if you're really not going to use it, you know, and you already know you want to send some things to the Philippines, go ahead and get that box started. Go ahead and make, because you can't keep it in your room. There's just no reason to keep, you don't have space to keep it in your room. Go ahead and, you know, like do what you need to do. So she did, and then, but then, oh, she wanted to wash everything. She went, I want to wash everything. I mean, really, okay. But I said, you'll spend the next month washing clothes that some of it you're going to keep, some of it you're not going to keep. And I get it. I said, are you sure? Because a lot of this stuff, I think you've already washed before. She's like, yeah, but the dust. I said, no. I said, if run it through the dryer really quickly, but if they're clean, like don't subject yourself. Don't subject yourself to that. I said, you have a lot of stuff. But I was so proud of her. Then, you know, she got all the stuff off of her bed, and then she said she was going to strip the bed and clean all the bedding. I'm like, okay, good. And then I got a text from her cousins, from our cousins, saying, can you help her find some documents? She's got to do stuff for taxes. And I'm like, okay.
You know, now you're Dora the Explorer.
All right. I wasn't planning on coming back because she said she didn't need my help. And I told her that I needed to do some things at home. And so, and I've been showing up like later in the afternoon because I've been doing stuff at home. I have laundry I haven't done, not like, you know, 6 months worth of laundry, but I have had, you know, stuff I need to do. And when you live in a house with two other people, they're also doing their thing. So it's like, you know, I got to pick and choose my moments, to go in and like just a chunk of time and try to be good about that. Cause I'll, it's one thing to start in the laundry, leave for a few hours, come back, you know, eventually move things over, you know, and eventually take that stuff out of the dryer, eventually hang it up, you know,
be right there.
I've called her. She would not answer, which is normal.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. She just doesn't answer her phone. It's usually plugged in. It's usually fine on power, but she just leaves it plugged in, and she's on the other side of the house, or she can't hear it, or she's mm-hmm. done something and the ringer's off. So I tried a few different ways of reaching her, because sometimes she has a setup where you can call her through like Facebook. It's a setup
yeah.
where the people in the Philippines
yep.
can reach her. I tried
uh-huh.
that way. She didn't do it. So she finally calls me. It's like after six, and I'm actually it's still light out, right? So I'm thinking if I gotta dig through her, you know, all the papers, that's fine. It's, I don't need daylight for that. But I was literally out getting ready to head out the door, and Anna and I were talking for a moment, and then she finally calls me back after like 4 hours later. She calls me back. Oh, you tried calling me? I'm like, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. I said, do you still need help? And so she's talking to her cousins, and I can't tell if she's talking to me or talking to them, because she's repeating some things. And I'm like, so you do need help? You don't need help? No, it's okay. You know, we can go tomorrow. I said, no, I'm not going with you tomorrow. You know,
I know they have no idea. Like, you're just not like, you know, in the wings waiting to
right.
just see their stuff. Yeah.
So I didn't have to go, which was nice.
Good.
And yeah,
that
so
would be
so
good.
It is.
If you got a big family. You don't have to be the person to do stuff all the time.
No, and that's why I was like, I don't know why they live with her, but I was assuming that they were leaving to go to work, which is why they texted me. But apparently, they were home. I don't know if they had a half day. You know, it's like it's Easter week, and they work at a they work at a school, so. I don't know if they're actually on spring break. They
right.
had spring break the week before. It's weird. I don't know. So whatever the case may be, I'm assuming they handle it. They have an appointment at some point this afternoon. I'm not involved.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's. I've got my cousins who are in the cousin that's in Australia, Filipino cousin. Who likes to check in and just, you know, see how, like, my mom's side of the family is doing. And I haven't really, you know, talked to anybody for, like, a couple of weeks, like a week and a half maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So I am halfway through the first of three books I told you about, the, end of life doula
mm-hmm.
stuff. Some of those passages just had me in tears. But it was, like happy tears.
Preparing yourself. That's good.
So I just wanted to check in on my aunt, who is in continuous care. And,
yep.
And she's still, you know, wanting to go home, and home is in the Philippines, as her daughter
right.
was texting to everybody.
Right.
Her home
right.
is not. She hasn't been back to the Philippines since she moved here to the States.
Right.
So that's like.
It's calling her. Yeah.
1974. Something like
amazing.
That. Something crazy. She has not been
yeah,
back.
Yeah, 50 years. That's crazy. That's 50 years.
Yeah. She hasn't
mm-hmm.
been back. But she is asking for her mom. She's asking for people who've already passed. So,
yeah, she's getting ready.
Yeah, I mean, it's a longer period. She's not in hospice, which my mom was trying to, you know, when my mom writes, and I feel like I sort of follow her because I'm super wordy in my emails. And in her messages or even a comment, like on Facebook, if she gets a hold of the iPad, she's like, it's like a novel that she writes. Like,
well, she needs
comment.
To express. She wants to express herself. It's like that's what she does.
So it was like a 3 or 4 inch, you know, text to the group.
I know when people text like that. No shade to anybody, but. When people, it's so counterintuitive to text because text is supposed to be brief. I have one friend that it's like chapter one, bitch is a text. Prologue. Yeah, prologue. What? Wait. What? Yes, this book, yes, acknowledgements. Wait, what? Right. Published by Penguin. What? There's a little picture of a penguin. No, no. It's like, are you going to be late? Are you running 5 minutes late or what? Don't tell me the best of times was the worst of times. I don't want to know. That's not what it's for. Anyway. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so my mom is oh, I was... It's not hospice. It's like we're all at the facility. We visited twice. Like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's not. I know it's not hospice because some of the people in there are just seriously just recovering. They can't do it. Like maybe they live alone and they can't take care of themselves enough for them to recover.
Right.
And get out of there. So I'm like, yeah, like the woman that was sharing a room with my aunt, I think it's just her brother lives somewhere. I don't know if he lives close by, but you know, like it's interesting. My mom and my cousin were talking to her like, oh, how you doing? So, you know, I think she had a stroke and,
oh my God,
you know, is recovering from that. I actually don't even know if she's still there. But I'm thinking, you know, my aunt's 95. She's sort of been on this, in this, you know, not in this state.
Limbo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For a little bit. And it's just been, you know, it's just gone deeper since, you know, hitting her head and having a,
yeah, right.
Having,
right.
You know, like the hemorrhaging, you know, in the brain because of that, you know, like there's stuff happening that like, I don't know how long it'll take. She's in good hands, but she,
yeah,
obviously
she's
she
ready
can't,
to show when she's
yeah,
ready.
She can't
she's ready.
Go, she can't go back home to her daughters because she can't. She doesn't have the type of care and assistance that she will really
no,
need.
She's
and they,
likely
going to
die at that facility when she's ready. That's it.
Right. So, yeah, I didn't want it to sound like, you know, but that's, I think we've all talked about it. Like, we know that that's how it's going to play out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking I would like to go visit again. I mean, however often I can visit, you know, obviously it makes more sense to have, you know, my mom and my dad and my aunt and my cousin.
Yeah.
And, you know, all those people just so that, you know, we can just
that
check in on
great.
Her. And I was asking her if there's any, you know, music that she really liked, like Filipino music maybe, but you know, it's been such a long time.
Right.
I think my dad would probably know some music. He would probably try. My dad likes sneaking in music to kind of calm my mom down.
Nice. That's good. He's smart.
Yeah. So you know, there's a lot of, oh, and the memorial for our friend Gloria Parker is Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Today, if I can help out, now Amy's been doing some work kind of behind the scenes. Getting stuff ready, you know, between that and then the psychic fairs happening the week after that.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, Anna's been doing a lot of things, so I'll probably go today. That's why I wanted to set some time aside and not be like at my aunt's beck and call, but to go kind of go over there. And if there's anything I can do to help, I'll help out.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah. I haven't finished that first book though. But it's really good.
Oh, good.
Some of the tips and just sort of the background behind it. Okay.
You're educating yourself.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to be a nerd like that.
Well, knowledge is power.
It's
going to really help you. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
Parents aren't going anytime soon. So this is really going to, you can really take your time preparing. Just don't put it off, and not because of a time thing, just because you want to see things to completion. And it just means read the books you got. That's all it means.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just continue to educate yourself. That's it.
And the more I'm able to talk about it, maybe not say, oh, I got these books about being an end-of-life doula. But, you know, for them, just sort of if I can bring it up. And it's... You know, we're witnessing it. This is kind of the second time on that side of the family because it was with my uncle,
right,
almost 10 years ago. where everything was happening so quickly, even though he had been diagnosed for like maybe almost a year before. We just didn't know. We didn't know how he was going to respond to chemotherapy at his age. He was like, I think 85 when that happened. And it was 85, 86. And it was just like, maybe we should have rethought that. But, you know, we just didn't know. We didn't know.
Right.
So, yeah, I think people are aware now. And as I learn more and I look at, you know, what's happening with my aunt, I'm like, well, you know, one, she is in a much better place than where her husband was. And yeah, I think we're just better prepared now. And I
think, of course,
you know, she's better prepared. Just, I think technically, you know, in her mindset is that, you know, when it's time to go, it's time to go.
Of course.
So yeah, that's sort of, you know, what's happening. More family stuff, it seems like, but manageable.
Yeah. You're handling it. That's good. So, why don't you pick a message? See where that takes us. Let me just load it up.
And Jen and Marguerite are in the chat. And she's like, Jen was like, will you please pick a card for today? I'm like, yeah, we can do that.
Oh, see, I always know. Wait a minute. Let me find. Okay, here we go. Okay.
Maybe we'll have Jen pick the card.
Yeah, have her pick it. Okay.
So Jen,
so she
type it in. Okay, I'm gonna start.
Okay, I'm ready.
Pick.
Okay. This is so with what. Everything you're talking about with just the awareness, the maturity, the grace, the due diligence of just reconciling with this whole end of life. This really sums it up. So the number with this message is 522. As the layers of illusion are tenderly and at times painfully releasing, feel the strength always within. Your preparation is paying off now. Excuse me. I'll read it again. I already know you want it. I'll send it to you. As the layers of illusion are tenderly and at times painfully releasing, feel the strength always within. Your preparation is paying off now. So a lot of the stuff, a lot of the thinking, you know, you think a lot, you tend to over, it's a habit, actually. Mm-hmm. It's just a habit. It's not anything to, you know, beat yourself up over or whatever. But what that is, that's just perpetuating the illusion. So you got to start thinking less and just accept. It's just habit. The same way that I was in the habit to sort of protect my right leg from being in pain, even though it's not in pain anymore because I got the acupuncture.
Right.
But it's like a habit. It's like a default. But it feels off. Like it feels off when I'm trying to protect something that doesn't hurt anymore. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's going to feel off you to protect something. You don't have to protect it anymore because you're doing the work. So you're going to get into, because it gets exhausting for you to just, you know, expend a lot of energy sort of just thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. You don't have to, because you are swapping that out for educating yourself and for leveling up in that maturity, in that wisdom. So these are layers of illusion. So that's what happens with patterns and things like that. You know, like your aunt, she just got off of just kind of like the illusion of being sluggish. You came in, she felt comforted by that. And then she did stuff on her own. She
mm-hmm.
felt better.
Mm-hmm.
Because the sluggishness is no different than overthinking. It's the same thing.
Right.
So this is great. I'm going to send this to you. 522 is the number. So good pick, Jen. she always picks a good one.
She said so relevant. Yeah. And she says she's an overthinker. Yep. You and me both.
Yeah, we all are.
Yeah.
We all are.
And I think, here I am, I think. I know, I have caught myself quite a few times, like with my aunt, when most of my frustration is because she doesn't really want to do the thinking part at all.
See, look at the opposite. That's funny.
You know, she told me when I first moved in, she's like, I'm just lazy. I'm like, okay, well.
All right.
I never thought people would want to own that, but apparently you're fine with it.
Yeah, that's like, I'm late, I'm lazy, and I'm proud of it, damn it.
Right. Ain't nobody going to change me. Yeah,
nope,
so
right.
So the illusions that we have to break through, you're right, a lot of it is through our own pattern of, well, that's what I'm used to seeing, that's what I've just told myself, that's what I keep reaffirming.
Mm-hmm.
And it, sometimes we think that we can't change it. It's too much effort. It's like the devil, you know.
Yeah.
But then you kind of stay stuck, or you do stay stuck. And so when I would get frustrated with her, I could tell. I mean, I would use this because it would feel this way. Like I feel like I have to grow a second brain just for my Aunt Thelma, and all
and
her life.
And you don't.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I've had to push back because, you know, and push back just to give her that space and give me the space, because
boundaries and breakthroughs. That's right.
It's not that big of a deal to pick a place to eat until it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just a driver in this situation. I don't really care where you want to go, but you got to pick a place. And then of course you'll pick a place that's clear across town.
Because she's not thinking. It's like you're in the wings
right.
To help her, to fix her, to drive her to the. So if anything, you've been. I mean, no, I'm not saying anything about her. I'm just saying what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Her perception of you. You've been a little dehumanized with your brother. You've been a little dehumanized with your mother. You've been a little dehumanized.
Yeah.
And I get that, you know, I remember almost having, when I was still married, almost having like a nervous breakdown in the supermarket because I don't remember. I had a host, like a family meal or something, and we were all together in the supermarket in Jersey because it was better than the supermarket in the city. And that's, you know, I still had access to the car, which I don't, and I don't care. And overworked, burnt out, I felt like I wasn't a human being anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to shake and lose my shit internally because nobody would ever know it, like in the general public, because I felt such a reckless disregard. But
yeah.
It had nothing to do with my ex-husband or my kids at the time. I set the blueprint. It was my reckless disregard and self-abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the darkest things to freaking own.
Yeah.
It really is, because we're going to see it out-pictured, and we think it's the other people. It has not a damn thing to do with any of them.
Right.
It has everything to do with us. It is not pretty. It is one of the darkest places that you can go to. You know, and this has been such the past, really the past year has really been that dark place, that dark night of the soul to really look at this stuff and move through it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you're right on schedule.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the 522. We know equals a 9, right?
So, hello.
So, but it starts off with changes. It starts off with going beyond what
That's
you
right.
thought you could do. And ultimately with a five, you can look at it as maybe being scattered in some different directions, but ultimately you do have to just go down a path. You have to make a choice. And because you can't keep trying to go back and seeing if you're missing out on something else. You just have to commit, because everything you need to experience, you're going to experience, whether you take, you know, the red pill or the blue pill, you know, door number three,
right.
Or down the rabbit hole, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The experiences that you need to get work through, it'll happen. It might just be a slightly different scenario, but vibrationally, energetically, it'll be exactly what you need to know, or what you need to get through, or what you need to be presented
mm-hmm.
with. So when we look at these, this five and then the two twos, we know that this is then about relationships, both inner and outer. And
exactly.
And one, the one, the inner one, will definitely show with the outers. They're saying you can do it either way, but at some point you're going to have to know it, that you're the common denominator.
Yeah.
You are the common denominator in your relationships. Just, there's no other way to
actually, yes, to, that's exactly
to
right.
Get around that.
That's exactly right. There's no getting around. I wish, but there isn't.
Yeah. So
mm-hmm.
Even in your most difficult relationships, you're there. You're part of it. Not that you are difficult necessarily, but there's a reason for this type of combination to be experiencing what
right.
you're both experiencing. So when we look at the number five, we think of transformation, you know, a lot of changes, but when we look at the number nine overall, that's some huge, major transformation. It's on a much bigger scale because it really does shape the outlook for wherever you step foot in the world, because you're going to bring yourself with you. And when you have the awareness then, because you've been doing the work, you are more mindful of how you speak to yourself or about yourself, and you're more mindful about how you speak to others. So like when you start off the beginning, before you reach that five, or as you're doing your five, you're just doing your own stuff. You know, like I can do my spiritual work, but still be an asshole at times, you know, like I'm going to be an asshole to somebody. You know, like, yeah, I'm working it out. And then, you know, you go through a period of, man, maybe I didn't need to say that, or I could have paused for a moment and thought that through before throwing that out there. And so you learn the consequences of your words or your actions, or both your thoughts. So when you do these inner transformations, you end up being a better person for it. Or usually you do. You know, it's a different version at the very least. But then when you take it out to the world, you know, your relationships are either renewed or they're not. Like, you know, like when you make a big change, some people can't get on board with it because they're like, I don't even know who you are. I'm like, okay, well, then, you know, we are presented with, do we spend time trying to win them over, or do we just let them be? Sometimes making that choice. Again, realizing that you're not really going to lose anybody that you don't need to. It's more of the energetics behind that relationship. Maybe that'll circle back around. Maybe it won't. But maybe it'll be somebody else that can have similar energy, so you can still work it through the bigger picture
mm-hmm.
lessons. So this is really, really cool. I love the message. Thanks, Jen. Oh, she's
yeah, thinking. And what'd you say?
She wrote, no one puts Elisa in the corner, rooting for you.
Oh, that's cute. That's right.
Funny.
And that's good. And Elisa shouldn't put Elisa in the corner.
Right. Most importantly.
Hello.
Right.
Most importantly. And I want to just mention to Jen, since I know she's listening, she had sent us an email with a link to the obituary of the guy that I felt like I said.
Or
trench. Yes. I don't really know, because what I pick up when I'm in that state versus at looking at a static image, but I think it was him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think it definitely was him, because the energy sort of felt the same when I looked at his picture. But poor guy to die of brain cancer so young. Very sad.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And
well,
I know.
Wow, what a beautiful, a beautiful message for all of us to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, to take it to the weekend, to take it to this this Holy Week and Holy Thursday.
Holy Week,
as Marguerite.
Oh, Holy Thursday.
Holy Thursday. And getting
good,
Thursday,
good
Friday.
Friday.
Good Friday.
I hope it's good. I hope it's a Friday. I hope it's a good one. Yeah.
Oh, she wrote, awesome. I am not surprised that you felt his energy because he was half Brazilian and lived in New York City.
Oh, hello.
Wow.
Hello. We probably, you know, were at the same street at the same time at one point.
Never.
That's how these things work. Amazing. Yeah. So that was really crazy how her boss's energy came through, her guide came through, this guy in the trench coat, Nick, came through. That is insane. But this really is a major, I said this Tuesday, I'm saying it again, major time for healing. Just had the eclipse. Major one's going to be April 8th. All these, you know, all these phases of the moon. But it's not about, oh, set your intentions or let's, you know, burn a piece of paper with things we don't want anymore. It's just very, it's like put all that stuff aside. It's not even about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Source knows what you want, what you don't want. Source already knows. We don't have to be thinking about stuff.
Right.
Hello. We don't need to be doing that. This is us being accountable to our healing, but doing that alone. It's a very private time to just sort of disengage, go to the darkest places with love and compassion, not judgment or self-hatred, because we do that baseline. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. It's just moving through that awareness in a judgment-free zone with the degree of conscious self-acceptance that we dare to embrace in a way that we've never done that before, which is why it's something to do alone. And when we go into overthinking, or we go into self-judgment, or we go into indecision, it really is a deflection. It's also addiction. And that's not a bad thing. That's how we were able to process and survive since childhood, because all of us in one shape or another have experienced a traumatic childhood. So those survival things turn into addiction. So that's all it is. So when I go down that little rabbit hole, it's like, okay, all right, I get it. It's okay. I don't have to do that anymore. That's all it is. So there's where the self-compassion comes in.
Right.
You know? And we get so caught up that we take the overthinking and the indecisiveness, we take it at face value. But if we can go a little deeper, we realize, oh, this is a trauma response. When you realize that and you know that you have outgrown the trauma, doesn't mean it goes away, but you have transcended it. You've made it a part of who you are. It gives you the grace. It gives you the wisdom. It gives you the compassion. Without the wisdom of our trauma, how could we relate to other people? I'm very proud that I can relate to most people about most things.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Confidently. It's not like I can't even imagine. No, I can imagine because I went through that, right? In
right.
many, not all cases, but in many cases, that's a gift. But if we're just caught up in that trauma response of overthinking and indecisiveness and self-judgment, we're not getting the gift. we're in a state of inertia. We're just staying there. But we don't have to do that because we have alchemized that trauma from lead to gold, the golden wisdom. The density of the lead, the pressure turning the coal into the diamonds, hello, that's transcendent. That's ascension. Hello, what is this freaking weekend all about? Ascension. Look at the timing on this Holy Thursday for those of you that subscribe. Look at that. So let's make every Friday a good Friday. Let's make, you know what I mean? Like, it's constant rebirth. It's constant crucifixion to resurrection to ascension. That's contrast. And that's the gift of the contrast. Because when you ascend, you're untouchable. And it doesn't mean you're holier than thou. It has nothing to do with that. But it means you embrace the contrast, not because we're masochists, but because we know when we embrace it, we move through it. And it accelerates that process so quickly that we dismantle that illusion that it has to take a long time because we have to suffer. If we know, as Buddha says, life is suffering, and people can be like, well, that's so negative. No, it's not. It's actually beautiful. Because the wisdom is that you can transcend that suffering when you know that it's for the wisdom and for the compassion, the grace that you gain in that. Mm-hmm. So it really is a time of rebirth and renewal. And it's the transcendency of suffering, because we don't see suffering as a bad thing. We see it as the contrast of life, and that life is always changing. So suffering changes. Suffering doesn't have to hurt in that way. It can serve the purpose of really accelerating our growth. You know, they always say growth, you know, growth is painful. Yeah. But we can compress that pain. We can embrace the suffering, not to indulge it, but to move through it, to lower our resistance. If we lower the resistance, we move through the illusion of suffering, and we raise our vibration so that we can ascend and be free of the burden of overthinking and judgment and separation. Because the more we judge and the more that we overthink, the more we're in and the more we judge, the more we're in separation.
Mm.
The more we can just be in divine alignment, not denying the suffering, but seeing the wisdom. The paradox of that is that it almost eliminates the suffering. When we get into that grace of chronic acceptance, it's not being passive. It actually sets up the conditions for you to manifest the change. So if you get into that state of mind, well, okay, I'm going to really accept that I have a really toxic boss. It doesn't mean that you're letting the boss win. You are actually lowering your resistance, therefore raising your vibration, and then maybe you're going to get an email for a job offer at a place that's a better environment. It just doesn't end with being complacent and submissive. It's using that grace to raise your vibration to attract something better. I know it's a little radical what I'm saying, but I think that there's something to it.
I think so too.
We will ponder that moving forward. So if any of you need to get a hold of us, you can send an email to loablend@gmail.com. We're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Please take excellent care of yourselves and each other. For those of you who celebrate Easter, happy Easter. And as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Love you. Bye-bye.